Now, I've already told the story. You know it well as I know it. Moses had been 40 years on the backside of the desert. Now he's 80 years of age. It's time for God to use him mightily. God comes to call him. Moses said, "Lord, I'm not a very good speaker. I can't make a speech very well." God said, I'll give you Aaron. Do you speak in for you?" And Moses said, "Okay, but Lord, I'm afraid I can't do it." God said, "Okay, Moses, if you can't do it, let me show what I can do." He said, "What you got in your hands?" He said, "I got a rod." He said, "Throw it on the ground." He threw it on the ground. He said, "What do you see now? I see a snake." He said, "Pick it up with the tail." He picked it up. It became a rod again. And so what God is saying is this. God is saying, throw it down. That's all you can do with what you have. You throw down what you can do and pick up what I can do and hold it high. He's saying, you let me have what you have. We'll get something done. But you use what you have, it'll be like a serpent. He's saying, let's use my power, Moses, and not yours. It became God's rod. It says, then he took the rod of God in his hands. You know what God did to that rod? He was de-selfing Moses. Moses was going to serve in his own power. He said, I can't speak. See, Moses thought that good speaking is what made you successful. And God is saying to Moses, Moses, good speech is not what does it. He said, I'll do it. I'll show you. So God de-selfed Moses and de-selfed that rod. Now, Moses has the rod of God in his hand. I was going to use one of these microphone stands, but this is more my ability to lift. And so I'll use the pen for the sake that I'm 61 years old. But Moses took the rod of God in his hand and not his own rod. Now you see, whenever you come to the place where you lay your talent down and give it to God, it becomes God's talent then. Now you lay down your ability. You lay on the altar your singing voice. It'll become God's singing voice then. You lay on the altar your speaking ability. It'll become God's speaking ability then. All God is saying is, Moses, I know you've done some good things with that rod, but Moses, what I'm going to call you to do, that rod won't do it anymore in your hand. It's got to get it come in my hand, so you throw it down and let me have it and pick it up. It'll be my rod. And I'll do something great through you and through that rod. So they came to the Red Sea. Passover lamb has been slain. Firstborn of those who had not applied the blood had been taken in death. They come to the Red Sea. The Egyptian army is pursuing. What did you do, Moses? God says, Moses, what's in your hand? He said, your rod. He said, hold it up. Hold it up. What's he saying? He said, let me have it. That's all. He said, hold it up. God said, okay, I'll reach down and I'll take it. Hold it up. And he held the rod, and you know the story, the waters parted, and the Israelites walked over on dry ground. Why? Because Moses had thrown down what he had and picked up what God had. Throw down, and this of course has to do with salvation. When they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground, it was a picture of salvation by grace through faith. It wasn't what Moses did. Moses couldn't swim across that water. He couldn't build a boat to take him across that water. He couldn't make a raft to take him across that water. God had to take him across that water. Salvation is of the Lord. Throw down what you can do for salvation. Pick up what he's done. Throw down your confirmation. Pick up grace. Throw down your sacraments and pick up salvation by grace through faith in what he's done. Throw down your confession at the little booth on Saturday afternoon where you confess to a fellow who ought to be confessing with you. And throw it down. He can't forgive your sin. Confess all you want to confess. Not one sin's forgiven. Not one. Throw down what you can do. Throw down what the church can do. Throw down what the priest can do. Throw down what your good works can do. Throw down what baptism can do. Throw down what church membership can do. Throw down can do. Throw down what commandment keeping can do. Pick up what God can do. Salvation is of the Lord. You're not saved because you live a good life. You're not saved because you got confirmed. You're not saved because you take the holy sacraments. You're not saved because somebody they call a father and dresses like a mother forgives your sin. You're not saved because of that. You're not saved because of what you can do, the Pope can do, the priest can do, the rabbi can do. You're saved because of what he can do. Throw down what you can do. Pick up what he can do. Pick it up. He's the Savior. Pick it up. Tonight, if you're here and you're trusting anything in this world to save you apart from what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross and through the empty tomb, you're trying to save yourself and you'll die and go to hell and burn forever if you keep on trusting that. I'm so sick and tired of all of this cooperation we have, church after church after church. Somebody comes to town to have some kind of a citywide revival or citywide meeting, and folks that preach that salvation is by baptism go, and folks that preach that salvation is by church membership go, and folks that preach salvation by good works go, and those that preach salvation by grace go. Let me tell you something right now. Anybody who preaches anything other than the fact that Jesus alone by grace through faith is the Savior is a false prophet and is going to hell himself and take all the folks with him who practice what he believes and preaches. Oh, let the Baptist people once again bring forth the message of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Throw down what you can do. Throw down what your church can do. Throw down what your rearing can do, and your denomination can do, and your Pope can do. Pick up what Jesus can do. That's what happened to Martin Luther on what they call the sacred stairs in Rome. Martin Luther was climbing up those sacred stairs trying to do penance like some folks are probably doing at this very moment. And he was trying to do penance. All of a sudden that passage that's mentioned four times in the Bible came to him. The just shall live by faith. 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 And Martin Luther said to himself, what in the world am I doing climbing up these stairs for penance if the just shall live by faith? He trusted Jesus as his Savior and let Jesus do the saving and got up off his knees and started the Reformation. I'm not for everything Martin Luther believed or teaches, but I'm for this. Salvation is by grace through faith. He threw down his own works and picked up God's. He threw down what he could do and picked up what God could do. Years ago when I was in college, we had a Bible professor named Dr. Frazier. Dr. Frazier was the only good Bible teacher we had in our college. We had four or five Bible teachers, but he was the only one. He was a premillennialist and believed in what we believe in. Dr. Frazier told the story how that he was pastor of a Church of Christ. Now, Church of Christ are not very popular up here, but Church of Christ in the South means that you've got to do seven things to be saved. You've got to repent, you've got to believe, you've got to endure, you've got to obey, you've got to be baptized, you've got to join the church, and so forth. That's seven things you've got to do to be saved. Well, truth is, I started to say, you only have to do one. No, you don't even have to do one. You just look to Jesus and say, here I am, you do it. Before you can say Jack Robinson, he's done it. But Dr. Frazier told how one day he was reading the Bible and came across the scripture, the just shall live by faith. He started studying about faith. He was pastor of one of those Church of Christ, and right across the street there was a Baptist church. He said he'd preach more sermons against that Baptist church and the heresy of that Baptist church than most anything else. And one Sunday morning he stood up to his people and said, folks, I realize that I've been trusting the water up here to save me. And he said, Jesus is the Savior. Salvation is by grace through faith. And he said, it's not by work, but by grace through faith. And he said, I've trusted Jesus and I'm saved now. And I hereby resign this Church of Christ. And I'm going to go across the street tonight and join a Baptist church. You talk about a big crowd across the street when the pastor of the Church of Christ. Can you imagine the guy over here across the street here at the No Saints place? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that fellow walking down his aisle getting saved some Sunday night? Can you imagine that? I'll tell you what, I'm not being critical of him, but I say what? He's going to go to hell like anybody else. He's trusting anything other than the finished work of Christ. Salvation is of the Lord. I'm saying, throw down trusting yourself. Throw down trusting your church. Throw down trusting your good works. Throw down trusting a man. And pick up what Jesus has done. God said, Moses, what you got in your hand? He said, I got a rod. He said, throw it down. He threw it down. He said, now pick it up. What was it? It was God's rod. As soon as he threw it down, it was God's rod because Moses gave it to God. He said, pick it up. What is it now? It's the rod of God. See what I can do. I can cause the waters to part, Moses. Let's see what you can do with it. Throw it down. Let's see what I can do with it. They walked across on dry ground. But now, wait a minute. They looked back. God had taken up what Moses had thrown down. And God had caused the Red Sea to part. Probably 3 million Jews or more to go across on dry ground. They get to the other side, turn around, and here come those Egyptians right behind them. Moses and the Israelites looked and saw the enemy coming, realized their life was in danger. Moses said, God, what are we going to do? Doesn't do us any good to cross the Red Sea if they come across on dry ground. What are we going to do? God said, what you got in your hand? He said, I got the rod of the Lord. He said, let me have it. Every time he said, hold it up, he just said, let me have it. Moses got it, held it up. He said, now Moses, turn around and hold it over the Red Sea. He did. All of a sudden, the waters came and covered up all those Egyptians. And all of them got baptized. Permanently. Now, what God's saying? God is saying, Moses, not only concerning salvation, throw down what you can do and pick up what I can do. But he's saying concerning your own defense, throw down what I can do. You can do and pick up what I can do. He's saying, Moses, let me defend you. Not your job to defend yourself. It's my job. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have some battles, folks. I don't care who you are. You're going to have some battles. But don't you defend yourself. I've got a little motto I've used for years. No attack, no defense. No attack, no defense. Say what you want to say. I'm not going to defend myself. I've got a Bible to defend. I haven't got time to defend myself. I've got a Bible to defend. I've got time to defend myself. I've got a Savior to defend. I haven't got time to defend myself. I've got truth to defend. I'm simply saying that no attack. I don't attack anybody, and I don't defend myself when I'm attacked. So launch all the weapons you got. Because my job is defending Christ. My job is defending truth. My job is defending this Bible. And bless God, as long as I've got 5 people to hear me, I plan to defend this book. And as long as I've got 5 people to hear me, or 2 people, or nobody, I plan to defend my Savior. And as long as I've got anybody to listen to me preach, I plan to defend the old-fashioned gospel of the grace of God Almighty. As long as I've got anybody to hear me, I plan to defend the old-time religion. I'm talking about no cussing. I'm talking about no drinking. I'm talking about no movie going. I'm talking about no mixed bathing. I'm talking about women dressing like women and men wearing their hair like men. I'm talking about the old-time religion. I'll defend that till I die. But I haven't got time to defend myself. I've got a Bible to defend. I've got a Savior to defend. I've got a gospel to defend. God said, Moses, you let me defend you. You just hold that rod. You throw down your defense. And you pick up mine, he said. I counsel with preachers all the time across the nation. All of them fighting the same battles. All of them. Same thing goes on one place, goes on everywhere else. And I say to those preachers, no attack, no defense. Don't attack, don't defend yourself. Let God do it. Been shot at. I was praying out here on Lake Michigan. I used to go out here on Lake Michigan to pray. Oh, not very far out. I'd walk about 100 yards out there on that water and pray a while. I hope someday I can grow in grace where I can go farther. Right now I'm about 100 yarder. Sometimes I had to swim back. But I used to pray out there over on the Whiting Beach. It's a beach and nobody's over there. It's just a bunch of weeds and everything. But I used to go over there and have a little spot where I prayed. And one day I backed my car out of there. up in a little spot where I used to pray, and I backed out, looked up the rearview mirror, and a fellow behind me had a gun, a rifle. He's pointing it toward my head. Man, I was driving about 10 miles an hour, and all of a sudden I gunned it and swerved that car, and a bullet came right by me. I looked up, and that bullet had my name written right on it. So I felt led to leave the premises. I haven't prayed since at the Whiting Lake. But God tried to kill me. I was used to jog a great deal. I don't jog anymore, you may have noticed. Oh, shut up, you skinny. I've seen him jog. If I had legs like that, I wouldn't jog. I'll guarantee you for sure. But anyway, I used to jog at night. I was jogging one night, and I was jogging down the middle of the street. And all of a sudden, a car came by and started cussing me. Huh, cuss back, of course. And I used a real dirty word. I said, American Baptist on you. But anyway, folks, this is summertime. Not many folks are here. Let's just have some fun. What do you say? And so anyway, I cussed back. And they went around the block. And all of a sudden, they started shooting. They shot at my feet. That's where I learned how to dance. And those folks were shooting real bullets at me. So I quit jogging. I was over here in the alley one Saturday afternoon. A guy attacked me, tried to kill me. I walked down the hallway one Sunday morning. A guy again attacked me and tried to get me. I've had two denominations after me. I've had every kind of a dirty, rotten lie spread about me, a man can have spread about him. But my Bible says, no defense. Let me tell you something, folks. You can't spend time defending yourself. You defend your Savior. You defend Him. You defend His book. You, by the way, defend your friends, too. But not yourself. Not yourself. You attack one of my friends, one of us is going to go to Fifth City. But not yourself. That's His job. What you got in your hand, Moses? I've got a rod. Lift it high. Let me have it. Throw down what you can do. Throw down your own defense. Throw down defending yourself. Let me take care of it for you. Throw it down. Moses turns and lifts that rod high, and God takes it. The Egyptian armies buried in the water. Now then, they get across the Red Sea. Egyptians have been buried in the waters of the Red Sea. They have 3.5 million Jews or so going to the Promised Land. No water. No water. Now, brother, I tell you what, you think this is rough now with not much rain. We're supposed to have had 12 inches of rain plus. We've had 8 inches this year. But listen, they were on their way without any water, and they had 3.5 million people had to have some water. Moses said, God, what are we going to do? We're thirsty. God said, what you got in your hand? The rod of the Lord. He said, hold it up. He held it up. He said, that rock right there, smite it! Moses took that rod. God's rod, not Moses' rod. Not what Moses could do with the rod, what God could do when it's God's rod. Throw down what you can do, Moses. Concerning salvation, pick up what I can do. Throw down what you can do, Moses, concerning your own defense. Pick up what I can do. Throw down what you can do, Moses, concerning your own provision, and pick up what I can do. Too many folks around here too much worried about how you're going to eat next year. Let God provide for you. Moses smote that rock with that same rod that he had thrown down and given to God, and God had made it his rod. Enough water came out to provide water for 3.5 million Jews for 40 years. Brother, let me tell you, God will take care of you. through. Now, he may not give you beefsteak, but you don't need beefsteak anyway. It's got too much cholesterol in it. Eat cheese quarter pounders, they don't have any cholesterol in them. God will take care of you. Quit fretting. Throw the rod down. Let God take care of you. Now, wait a minute. Didn't say that Diet Dr. Pepper came out of that rock. Didn't say that classic Coca-Cola came out of that rock. Didn't say that root beer came out of that rock. Didn't say that orange juice came out of that rock. It says water came out of that rock. God said, I'll take care of your needs. Throw down what you can do. Let me see and pick up what I can do. Let me announce to you tonight, folks. God takes care of His children because they're His children. God doesn't take care of you because you're a good Christian. God takes care of you because you're a Christian. Let's take what we call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Then the next line says, forgive us our sins. We forgive those who sin against us. Before we ever ask forgiveness of our sin, we have a right to ask God to feed us. God doesn't feed us because we're good Christians. God feeds us because we're His children. And so we ask for our daily bread before we ask for forgiveness. You don't have to have your sins forgiven for God to feed you. God feeds you because you're one of His young'uns. I could stand here the rest of the night and I could tell you case after case after case of how when I threw down what I could do, God picked up what He could do concerning this matter of His provisions. I was thinking this afternoon and praising God a little bit about His provisions through all these years. I was thinking about, you heard me say it time and time again, my mother praying for God to take care of us and how God did take care of us miraculously. Graduation time is always a heartrending time for me because we didn't used to wear caps and gowns when I graduated. The young men wore, in high school, in college we did, but in high school we graduated. Young men wore suits, business suits, and like you and I wear tonight, and the young ladies wore formal dresses. And I remember that my mother came to me the day of graduation, the morning of graduation. She said, son, I'm sorry, but you can't go to your own graduation tonight. It's going to be at McFarland Auditorium on the campus of Southern Methodist University. It's on a Friday night. And I said, mother, why can't I go to graduation? She says, because you're not allowed to graduate or walk across the platform and get your diploma unless you have a suit. And as you know, son, you don't own a suit. And I've done all I can to get enough money to buy you a suit, but I don't have enough money to buy you a suit. I went back to the little back room where I slept. I got on my knees beside the little bed where I slept, and I said, dear God, I'm not sure how to do this, but I sure do need a suit. I want to graduate. I want to walk across the platform tonight. And dear God, I don't have but a few hours before I've got to go. Is there any way you could arrange for me to get a suit closed? Just a little while later, the postman came. Mother said, son, there's a letter for you. Letter was from one of my uncles who said, dear Jack, he said, I'm sorry, I just found out you're graduating, didn't have time to buy you a present. He said, I'm enclosing a $50 check. I hope you won't be too upset with me about it because I sent you money instead of a gift, and I was not too upset. Back in those days, you could buy a whole wardrobe for $50. That's back in the day, and you could buy a pound of bacon for a nickel. You could buy a loaf of bread for a nickel. You could buy a bottle of... Anyway, you could... And I went down to Reynolds Penland Company. I bought me a brand new suit, the first brand new suit I'd ever had. I bought me a brand new suit. I bought me a pair of shoes. I bought me a shirt, tie, socks. And that night, my mother was sitting on the front. I walked across the platform in a suit God provided for me. Oh, thank God for His provisions. You don't have to fret. Throw down what you can do. Pick up what He can do. Trust Him. Be not dismayed. Whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. God will take care of you. Throw down what you can do. Pick up what He can do. One Sunday Sorry, I'll go back. I was pastoring a little country church, a little part-time church. We drove 100 miles every Sunday up to the church and swept it out and built a fire in the wood stove and then chased all the yellow jackets out that got out of the wood stove and then chased the woodpeckers out of the building and had church. Another church called us, the Grange Hall Baptist Church, called me as pastor. I became pastor of Grange Hall Baptist Church, but I had some enemies. Had some men, influential men, and in the congregation, one was the deacon chairman, one was the treasurer, and one was the Sunday school superintendent. They were against me. They wouldn't pay me. Didn't have any money. I bought me a lawnmower, mowed my members' yards to make enough money to pay my salary with because the treasurer wouldn't write my check for weeks and weeks. I got no check at all. I mowed yards of my members. Back in the days, didn't have electric lawnmowers, or power mowers, just push mowers all you had. And I did that. I remember one night, our church was about, probably 10, 12 miles from where the church was. One Sunday night, we had a snow. Hardly ever had a snow in East Texas. We had a snow. And it stayed on the ground that night, and our car showed empty on the tank. And I knew I was supposed to go to church, but knew I didn't have any money. There's a service station just three or four blocks down the road. Didn't matter because I didn't have any money. And we got in the car. Ms. Howes and I got in the car. 1941 Dodge. Took off for church. Didn't know how far we'd get. I said, "Dear God, you called me to pastor that church. I believe you can get me there." A 10 miles drive, snow on the ground. Drove about two blocks and the old thing started sputtering. Pretty soon gas is all gone. Stopped right, came to stop right in front of that service station. But we didn't have any money to make a difference. We could have been in Iran, wouldn't have done any good. We couldn't afford anything. Sitting there in the car. Just about the time that car stopped, another car came up and stopped in front of us. The guy got out. He'd gotten saved in our church that morning. And he said, "Reverend," he said, "my daughter Barbara, 17 years old." No, got saved Sunday night before. He said, "my daughter Barbara, 17 years old," said, "you know, I'd like for that new preacher we got, to have this $5. But I feel like he might need it before church tonight." He said, she told me to drive over here. I was going to come to your house, but didn't get there before you left. Said, "I guess you saw me coming. That's why you stopped, wasn't it?" I took that $5, gas station right over here. $5 here. Filled it up with gas. You'd have thought I was on a honeymoon with God that night. I'd like to serve notice on you how good our God is. Throw down what you can do. Pick up what He can do. Throw down what you can do. Moses, about salvation, throw it down. Pick up what I can do. Raise the rod high. Let me show you what I can do. Throw down your rod, Moses, what you can do concerning your self-defense. See what I can do. You defend me, I'll defend you. You defend my book, I'll defend you. Throw down what you can do, Moses, about provisions. I'll take care of that. They come to the place. They come to the valley of what was called Rephidim. The valley of Rephidim. The enemy was strong. Moses said, "God, what can we do?" God said, "What you got in your hand?" He said, "I got the rod of God." He said, "Hold it high." Moses picked it up. He held that rod. Look at that, folks. You've never seen anything like that in your life before. He held that rod. Then he put it on the pulpit. He held that rod, held it high like that. And then he held it high. And you know, as long as that rod was high, do you know that the battle was won in the battle of Rephidim? Moses, God said, "Hold it high, Moses! Put down what you can do!" You got battles to fight. Put down what you can do. Pick up what God can do. And God, Moses held that rod high, but his arms got tired. And he dropped it like that. And as soon as he dropped it, the enemy began to win the battle. And Moses got a little strength, and he picked that rod up, and he held it up high. And his tie hit him right in the face when he did it. Held it up high like that. He held it up high like that. The battle was won. And Moses got tired. Moses was holding that microphone up. That rod up high like that. And he got tired. He put it down. All of a sudden, when he put it down, the enemy began to win. God said, pick it up! Moses said, God, I'm tired. I can't do it. What did God do? God put Aaron on one side, her on the other. This is a his and her. Got a him and a her over here. He put Aaron on one side. Moses tried to lift it up. He had to lift it up because God could win the battle and Moses couldn't. He said, hold high the rod. The same rod that parted the waters of the Red Sea will win the battle. The same rod that caused the Egyptian army to drown will win the battle. The same rod that got rock from the water of the rock in Horeb will win the battle. Lift it up. Moses said, I'll do the best I can. Aaron took one side. And the Bible, I love this. Let me show you. I'm going to do something. You won't think this is sacrilegious, will you? He said, Moses, you stand on the rock. You stand on the rock. And you hold the rod high. And as long as you're on that rock, Aaron and her holding your hand up. There's the rock. Moses stood on that rock. Now, you're seeing right now, ladies and gentlemen, what makes a great New Testament church. A preacher stands on the book, gives the best he's got, lets God have his life, and the people hold his hands high. That's what makes... You're seeing what builds a great college tonight. You're seeing what builds a great church. Thank you, fellas. And God gave the victory. Why did God give the victory? Because Moses threw down what he could do. Picked up what God could do. Talking to a little widow. Tonight, rearing your children by yourself. Having to work, your mother and a father. Trying to rear the children alone. You wonder if you can win the battle? No, you can't win the battle with what you can do. But you throw down what you can do and pick up what he can do and you can win the battle. Talking tonight to some man having a hard time providing for his family. I'm not talking about providing a color TV. I'm not talking about providing video. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about providing the needs for your family. Have a tough time providing for the needs of your family. Throw down what you can do. Pick up what God can do. God says, throw down what you can do, Moses. Pick up what I can do. Too many of us working in the flesh. We need de-selfed. We need de-selfed. The rod of God. Moses didn't have much. All he had was a rod. What you got in your hand, Moses? Make a difference. Just throw it down. Let me have it. It'll become powerful. What you got in your hand, Shamgar? I got an ox goad. A stick that I've shaved off on the end so it's sharp so I can punch the rear end of the animals to keep them moving. It's an ox goad, the stick and the oxen to keep them, to prod them. Let me have it, says God. He gave it to God. God used that ox goad in his own hand to kill 600 Philistines and win the battle for his army. What you got in your hand, little boy? Oh, just a lunch basket. A few loaves and fishes. Throw it on the ground. Throw down what you can do. Give it to God. God will take that lunch basket and feed 5,000 people with it. We've got too many preachers trying to do what they can do. Throw it down. Let God do what He can do. Let God de-self you tonight. Got too many people facing problems. That's why you get frantic. That's why you throw your hand, wring your hands like that. Why? Because you're afraid you can't do it, or nobody else can do it. You can't do it, but our God can do it. Throw down what you can do. And pick up what He can do. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. All four of these points. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not preaching what I've heard tonight. I'm preaching what I know. I know what I'm talking about. The battle is His. The victory is His. Let Him do it. You just give Him what you've got. Just give Him what you've got. I was thinking last Friday night, this past Friday, graduation night, standing up here passing out these diplomas, and I couldn't help but remember the night I graduated from college. Apart from Mrs. Howells and me, nobody was there. Everybody had their families from all over. My little mother had no way to get to graduation. My dad, dad was already in heaven then, I think. I'm sorry, shouldn't have said that. My dad was already dead then, I think. Anyway, I was standing outside graduation, and I'd asked God somehow, let my mama come. Let my mama come. But it's graduation time. Standing outside, ready to walk in. Pomp and circumstances being played. I don't think we played that down south. I think we should be coming around a mountain. We play it sound like that. And standing outside, we're marching in. Our college campus was up on a hill. It was in the woods, but up on a hill. And just as we're marching in, I heard a squeak of a car, some car brakes. I looked around and I saw a big black Cadillac car drive up. A chauffeur in the front seat. My Uncle Harvey and my mama in the back seat, Aunt Jimmy. And my mama got out, and that chauffeur got out, opened the door for her, and all those college kids said, "Who's that? Who's that?" And I said, "My family." Sure. Praise God for God. I don't know whether I told you this the other day or not. I tell it somewhere. I go so many somewheres. I don't know what I tell where, but I'll tell it again. If I told it here, I'll tell it again. It won't hurt you to hear it. Most of you, the different crowd was sleeping that night than sleeping tonight, and this is the other shift. Went to college. I mentioned a 41 Dodge a while ago. We had no car. I got called to the pastor of church 100 miles away. Had no car, no way to get there. The only reason I got up there to candidate was I had a friend named Mel Rudder who was preaching up there close there one Sunday. And he drove us up there and I preached, and they voted for me to become their pastor, mainly because nobody else would. Like Gary Coleman said, he's just about 18 years old. Candidated for the church, and six other preachers had candidated, and all of them seasoned pastors had pastored churches. And they called Gary Coleman, 18-year-old kid, and Gary walked in and said, "Well, why did you call me instead of these other fellows? What did you see in me?" The old deacon said, "Because your wife's the only one who can play the piano." And my wife couldn't even play the piano, and I got called to that little church, but I had no way to get there. Mel Rudder was my prayer partner. Mel and I used to go up to the top floor of the education building at First Baptist Church of Marshall on the fire escape, and that was where we prayed. We went up there for our prayer time one day, and I said, "Brother Mel, I've got to have a car. Pray God will give me a car." I had $7 in my pocket. That's all I had. Just $7. That's just enough to buy two bus tickets to Dallas, one way. I said, "Mel, let's pray for God to give me a car." We prayed for God to give me a car. I went down and bought two bus tickets to go to Dallas, one way. Somebody said, "Why did you just buy one way?" I said, "Because I plan to drive a car back. And because I don't have enough money for a round trip ticket." And so we got to Dallas. Walked up on my mother's front porch. She didn't know we were there. It's 150 miles away. She didn't know we were there. Before I even knocked on the door, my mother overheard my mother. It was a summer day. She's talking on the telephone. She was talking to my Aunt Jimmy. She said, "Yes, Jimmy." No, Rupert, my cousin, Uncle Harvey's son. She said, "Yes, Rupert, this is Costell." "Yes." "You got a what?" You got a car for Jack. Well, Jack's not here, Rupert. He's down in college, East Texas Baptist College. I'm sure he'll take it, but I'll have to find out. I'll call him and let you know if he'll take it. I said, tell him I'll take it! Picked up the phone and we drove back a 41 Dodge. Of course, this was 1948, but 1941 Dodge. I'm saying that's been the way it's been all these years. All these years. God will take care of you. Tonight, if you're trusting what you can do to save you, throw it down. Pick up what He can do. Tonight, if you're spending your time trying to defend yourself and fight back and use the devil's weapons to fight the devil with and stoop to the same level of your attacker to fight back, don't do that. That's not your business. Don't throw garbage back for garbage. Don't do that. You just go ahead and let the Lord take care of it. You keep on defending Him. Keep on winning souls. Keep on building that Sunday school class. Keep on serving God. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching us to war. You defend Him. You throw down what you can do and pick up what God can do. Tonight, if you're having a tough time believing God can take care of, believing how you're going to be fed and how you can make it, you throw down what you can do and pick up what God can do. And tonight, if the battle's rough, and it is for many of you, awful rough. One of our dearest men found out this week he has cancer. One of our dearest men, one of the finest men in this church. Just crushed I am. His family is. So how can I take it? Throw down what you can do. Pick up what God can do. A fellow that's going to stand tomorrow, Tuesday, Waco, Texas, who sat here last Sunday night, told us goodbye. Preached a funeral service for his little 18-month-old baby. How can he take it? Throw down what he can do. Pick up what God can do. That's the answer. That's the answer. The battle is the Lord's. Throw down what you can do. There's not much I haven't faced in these 41 years of preaching. Not much. Not much. I've stood behind this pulpit and buried my own mother. How did you do it? Threw down what I could do and picked up what he could do. That's what I did. I preached 8 times between her death and her burial. How did you do it? Threw down what I could do, picked up what he could do. Throw down what you can do. Pick up what he can do. Whatever you've got, talent, money, position, ability, whatever you've got, throw it down. God will say, okay, let's see what you can do. You'll be a snake. Pick it up! And then Moses said, and I love that scripture. It says, take the rod of God. Now, we're not talking about a scepter. We're talking about a stick. We're talking about a shepherd's rod. We're talking about a piece of wood. Had two prongs on, like that on the end where the branches would stop. They'd pick out one like that. They'd sharpen this end and sharpen that end so that when they came and a serpent would come to get there to attack the sheep, they'd take that two-pronged end that was sharpened on both sides and stick it down over the serpent's head like that and tie the serpent to the ground and kill it. The other end was just a point, just had a point where they could take the rod and stick the sheep and keep the sheep moving. That's all it was. That's all Moses had. That's all God needs. God doesn't need... What you have is not the important thing. The important thing is you let God have what you can have. All over this room tonight, people look at the man over here, Monty Watts. The Watts reared as a child in an iron lung. That's why he's shaped like it. He got poured in a mold of an iron lung. Came out like the golden calf. Came out shaped like an iron. But he reared in an iron lung. God's using that guy across this nation to be an evangelist. What did he have? Just didn't matter what he had. He let God have it. We make an awful lot light about Bucky Tucker and Super Christian and what's that dog? Under Puppy and all that stuff. But you know God has used that. You know why? Because the guy that does it decided not to go to Hollywood, decided to let God have it. And God's used it. Let God have it. Whatever it is.